Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Bless the Lord. And Nick's going to share something of that with us. Thank you.
Well, I am probably sure that all of you have seen what I'm about to show you, or maybe not. Hands up for you in either the Adventure Scouts or the Scouts or the Cubs or maybe the Sea Cadets or the Army Cadets, the Guides, the Brownies, the Rainbows, maybe not the Rainbows and maybe not the Beavers, but okay. Who can tell me what that is? A compass it is, and I've got a compass here that I'm borrowing from somebody because I think they use it in their family for the Duke of Edinburgh's award, I think. That's what I would be suggesting. No, it was Matilda's, is it? Well, Matilda's, she's getting ready for the Duke of Edinburgh's award. Well, what do we use compasses for? Any ideas? Kerry? To tell us where north, south, east and west is, yes. It's to help us find the right direction. It's to help us find the right direction. Because it has four main directions. It has north, south, east and west, as you can see from the picture. The needle of the compass always points north. And I want to go south. So that means I've got to go the opposite direction to the way that the red needle is pointing. Because this one's saying north that way, and the white one saying south that way. So therefore, if I want to go south, I just got to walk in that direction. If I wanted to go north, then I'd be walking that way. I'd follow the needle this way. Because as I keep going that way, it's still pointing that way. If I wanted to go east, if I wanted to go east and this needle never pointed to north, it went all over the place, I would struggle, wouldn't I? If it wasn't always going to the north, if it was going, actually just turning around like that the whole time, like a normal clock, I'd struggle to say, oh, I've got to go east. Now, is it this way or is it this way? At the moment, I'm quite confident that east is that way because I'm quite good at directions. I am actually. No, I am. That's quite confident. I'm quite good. Okay, but obviously, sometimes you could be put in a position. Say, if I was dropped off in the middle of France and said, right, off you go. I want you to head east. Now, if I didn't have a compass that worked properly, I might struggle. But you might be able to work it out if you're a real Boy Scout and you looked at all the sun and the way that this and that and the fact that, oh, look, there's moss on that side of the tree and that means this and, you know, Bear Grylls stuff. I couldn't do that. I'd be thinking, right, sat-nav, okay. But you'd look to try and work your way. And we do. The problem is if it's all mixed up, we can lose our way. We can lose direction. I would wander around hopelessly lost. The compass, we hope, always to be pointing north, to be pointing in the right direction. When we're trying to find our way through the journey of life, God has given us a spiritual compass to guide our path. That guide is the Bible, God's holy word. The truth that we find in the Bible never changes. It always points us in the same direction. It will always point us to Jesus. The Living Bible says it like this: your words are a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling. I like that. He knows where we are to go. After all, he is the one leading us, isn't he? He's the one directing us, taking us. If the path is well lit, clearly visible, we're able to see the way and not stumble, which is like our street lamps, isn't it? There's all this stuff in the news, all these people moaning because their light street lamps get turned off at night. After midnight, it goes dark. And actually, it's a lot harder to find your way down the street when it's completely dark. But with the street lamps there, it lights your way. I don't know, children or adults, when you're in the car and you're driving up the motorway, and there are bits of it which are lit up by street lamps. And actually, it's a lot more reassuring as you drive through that bit than the bit that's completely dark and it's just your headlamps. And you're thinking, oh, there's a bend coming up soon, I think. But there's street lamps there. You can actually see the way the road is going. So it makes things clearly visible. I want us, and I want you, to consider something. God doesn't want us to fail. Okay, God doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to succeed. But we have to follow after him. We have a choice to stay on the lighted path, or we can stumble out into the darkness. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. This can happen when we make our own choices based on our own wants, desires, and not follow the well-lit path. He leads, but he will not push us. Okay? He leads, but he doesn't push us. He's not saying, that way, Matt, that way, Matt, go on. He doesn't do that. It is our choice to follow. When we need direction and guidance, we can always go to the Word of God. We can always go to the Word of God. There have been so many instances in people's lives when they needed direction and the Holy Spirit would quicken a verse of Scripture that would change their direction. His Word lighted their path. He showed me the way to go when I didn't know the way through the Word. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Thank God for his word. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Our Father cares for us, even in the smallest areas of our lives. He will show us how to walk after him if we take time to learn his word and listen. If we take time to learn his word and listen. Without knowing his word, we will have a hard time hearing and following the voice of God. The Spirit and the Word always agree. One will never contradict the other. One will never contradict the other. There are times when we must get quiet in his presence. And for some of us, that would be harder than others. For me, I'm a noisy person, and to get quiet takes discipline. But it needs to happen. Because after all, communication is a two-way thing, isn't it? How would you like it if someone always came up to you and began speaking without taking the time to hear what you have to say? Hi, nice to see you. Let me just tell you about myself. And that was it. And then they would walk away. No time to hear what you've got to say about yourself. Maybe you know people who are like that. Or after a while, maybe you might get tired of them and think, actually, I'm not going to bother. I'm not going to talk to them anymore. I'm going to avoid them. I'm going to avoid them. Communication is not only speaking, but there should be a lot of listening as well. If you ask for directions and don't take them, the time You know, if I was, who's, hands up if you've ever been lost and you've sought somebody on the road, asked for directions. I'm assuming you've then listened to them and taken their advice. Not sort of thought, well, thanks a lot, cheers, go your own way. You need to take advantage of what they're saying. And then, right, I will now take what they're saying and go with it. Not just think, thank you very much, I'm off. And it would be rude. It would be rude to ignore what somebody said. We learn his voice when we learn his word. We learn his voice when we learn his word. And this is the end of my first bit. We're going to come back and hear a bit more in a minute. So, coming back, we learn his voice when we learn his word. Jesus said in John's Gospel, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We not only hear his voice, he knows us, and we follow him. If we were not able to hear his voice, we should not be able to follow him, would we? Jesus said, "We hear his voice." There are people in our world, both those who believe and those who don't believe in God, who would think that we could be a bit loony if we told them God actually speaks to me and that I actually hear his voice. There may be some who go, "Oh, no." But this should be the norm for God's children, not the abnormal. Why is this so hard to believe? Was Jesus telling the truth when he said, "My sheep hear my voice"? It's a simple yes or no question. He was either telling the truth or he was lying. There is no in between. I believe he was telling the truth. I believe he was telling the truth. My question is this: then why aren't more Christians hearing? Since he was telling the truth, then the problem is with us. The problem's with us. Let's just get honest about it. God is doing his part. Therefore, we have to be the ones who need to be doing something different. We need to be the ones to be doing something different. There are many things that could stop us hearing God's voice. Jesus often said this, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And this statement is said by Jesus 8 times in the Gospels. It is our responsibility to hear. It's our responsibility to hear. And I believe that can be whether we're 5, 50 or 100. God speaks to all of us. If we love him, he wants to speak to us. He said this in the Gospel of Luke in the 8th chapter. "But others fell on the ground, sprang up and yielded a crop of 100-fold. Now, children, who can tell me what passage is that? What's that? What story is that from? When the person, the corn is, the seed's sown on the ground and it grows up and it's 100-fold. Can anybody remember? There's 3 types of, it's all about soil. Come on then, Jack. Yep, the parable of the sower. And at the end of it, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He cried, he said this with much emphasis. "Listen here. If we don't hear, he can't lead us, can he? He has given us the ability to hear, or he would not be just telling us to do the very thing. Would he?" He says, "I've given you that ability to hear, so hear." We have spiritual hearing. We just have to learn. We just have to learn to tune in. It is in our best interest if we listen. Our Heavenly Father wants us to succeed in everything. He wants us to succeed in everything. Secondly, we have to take time to listen. Many Christians have never done this and need to learn this very important part of being a follower. We must understand we do not hear spiritual things with our physical ears, these things on the sides of your heads. Some are more attractive than others. We have spiritual senses that we can hear spiritual things. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Our spirit must be trained, just like our flesh or mind has been trained. We need to learn how to hear spiritually. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." We need to be able to tell the difference between God's thoughts, our thoughts, and the thoughts that come in from outside sources. That can include coming from the devil. He will put all kinds of thoughts in our minds if we let him. But we don't have to let him. When we are born again, when we are made anew, we become a new creation in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Bright and shiny. Brand new. You're not rusty. You're not dirty anymore. You are brand new. How amazing is that? Each one of us, when we say yes to Jesus, is made brand new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah that we are made brand new. And it's because he's encouraging us. He wants us to succeed. Word of God. It tells us in here. He wants us to succeed. We can train our spirit to hear and tune into the voice of God. We have been trained all our lives to listen to the natural. And sometimes we should set that aside and begin to relearn to do things God's way. But this can take time. But the rewards are great. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths." I want to encourage us. To take the necessary time to do these things. This year, I want to encourage you as the people of God, the people who are meeting here at Bourne Baptist Church, in this community, in this family, to learn God's word, to spend time in God's presence, and to learn God's voice. That's my desire. For each one of us, me included. So children, you can do this. This isn't an adult thing. We can all learn God's word. We can all read the Bible. We can all read the Bible. Parents, you can read the Bible with your children if they're not old enough to read words themselves. It doesn't have to be right. Marika, we're going to read 15 chapters tonight. It could be 15 verses. Spend time in God's presence. Allow God to be with you. Say, "God, I'm about to read this book, your word. Be with me. Sit with me, Lord." And he will come and draw close and learn God's voice. The more you spend reading his word and praying with him, talking with him, you will discern his voice. And my prayer is that by the end of the year, we would be alive. We would be alive with God's word in us and God's spirit speaking in us. And we would just be discerning. We wouldn't be able to walk down the road and think, "God's saying that." How amazing would that be if our faith had grown that much in this year? It can, if we put the effort in. And that can be for a child, it can be for an adult. It really can. Because God's interested in each one of us, and he wants the best for us. Anyway. So this is why we're chosen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, because I believe, and we believe, that God's word is true, and it is that. We might be thinking, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going. God's word. God's word. How amazing is it that we are privileged enough to have God's word to rely on? So please, this year, whoever you are, if you're not a member of our church, I don't care. Learn God's word. Okay? Please. Because it's life-giving. It is life-giving. I'm not quite sure what we're doing now. I've got a bit... Oh, thank you. Got a bit excited. Okay, we're going to have a song. But I just want to say, before we do, I really want to appreciate, I want to give thanks to Catherine, who designed that artwork for us. It's a real gifting she has. And I know she's not doing it for, look at me, I'm great. But I just think, I want to give you, say thank you. Because that is a wonderful inspiration for us. And it's going to be here all year. We had the other one last year. To have life and live it all in abundance. We've now got this one. So let's live with it, please. Take a photograph of it, if you like, and put it on your computer. Have it as your desktop. We're going to sing.